This is a replay of the Wednesday night, October 30th WGN show. We started at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, and unless sports preempt us, that's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593, my toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Now, Igor, throw the switch and bring it to 50,000 watts of power!
Then I'll be happy to see those nice young men in their clean white coats, and they're coming to take me away!
They're alive! They're alive! Why, the 1110 men! The 1110 men are alive!
Science Report presents Lasers and Cavities and Guitar Wood.
Oh, baby, I dig you so much. Hot dang, pay dirt.
It's my greatest creation ever.
But now, what will we do with them, Master?
Get them jobs in radio.
Hot dog, here's a dedication.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Since this is as close as we get to Halloween this year, we'll take it as our Halloween celebration, as you just heard on the open. And, of course, that coincides with the opening of the annual World's Worst Hit Records poll. The only qualifications are it has to be a hit, a national hit of some sort. Doesn't have to be number one or anything like that, but just a hit so everybody recognizes it. Other than that, doesn't matter what genre or what decade. All it qualifies is you just hate it. It's the kind of thing that you reach for that knob whenever it comes on the radio station that you're listening to, and you just say, I can't take it anymore, I hate it. And that's the deal. We've been doing this for, wow, over 45 years. And I've kept most of the polls. I won't start by telling you any now because I don't want to give you any starter songs. In some ways, it has changed over the years. In other ways, not so much. So if you hate it, any decade, any genre, you vote for it. I don't take votes personally. I mean, I don't create any votes myself. I don't fudge the list. And Carol, Queen of Show Prep Ford, keeps me honest about this for anything on the air. You can do it by email. I prefer that you don't. There's no such thing as texting. And so, yeah, not that I'll ever see. So if you can, your best shot is to call. You can vote now through the night before Thanksgiving. And then on Thanksgiving, which is the night of turkeys, we play back your top 10. And have fun live on the air while you're sitting through holiday dinner and surviving it all. Yeah, okay. And, of course, on Thanksgiving, the Raleigh James I Hate the Holidays Club officially comes to order, and we'll tell you more about that then. But for now, we need your votes. 888-876-5593. 8888 Raleigh. So, and I have not taken any preseason votes. So, in fact, it'll be Fran in Austin, who is going to be our first official vote tonight. But beforehand, I got to tell you about this. Rarely am I, when I'm looking through things to talk to you on the air, you know, discuss whatever, rarely am I so taken in that I'm reading every word. But the story of McCamey Manor did me in. This thing started in San Diego, but they threw him out of town about 2017. It's now in Summertown, Tennessee. It's the immersive horror experience. Personalized to each guest, it is a six-hour tour, and there are no safe words. You're required to sign a 40-page waiver. You must be over 21. You have to have a sports physical and include proof of medical insurance. And he said, we're known for no quitting, no safe word. Navy veteran Russ McCamey runs this. Your hair might be chopped off. Dentistry may be done. You may have a tooth extracted. Now, you know, just you get to that part and you say, nobody's going to line up for this. No, they've got like a 270,000 person waiting list. Oh, by the way, this guy apparently walks his talk. He was arrested in July for second degree attempted murder, rape, and domestic violence after an incident with his girlfriend, but the charges were later dropped. She probably scared the living daylights out of her, and she's, never mind. Yeah, who knows if she's in Summertown anymore. But so at that point, I started to look further because I thought, okay, one article, how bad could this be? The next headline, his eye was full of blood. Okay, now, yeah. And apparently it started out as a spooky suburban attraction in quiet San Diego. Yeah. Ended up leaving visitors injured and deeply traumatized. And there are actually podcasts about this as well. At the time in the early 2000s, it was our vet, Russ McCamey, and his then-wife, Carol, who probably ran screaming somewhere along the way, who went on television to explain that they were spending $30,000 to make Halloween at their home bigger and better than anyone else's. And fans lined up around the block in San Diego to experience fake blood, little did they know, spooky props and teenage actors, and, it turned out to be much darker. By 2012, participants were being waterboarded, chained up in boxes, buried alive. Yes, that's when McCamey decided to make McCamey Manor a more extreme kid-free zone. Yeah, and one participant said, I was seeing people coming out shaking uncontrollably. One guy, it looked like his nose was broken. Another had a burst blood vessel in his eye, full of blood. And apparently, there were individuals who had psychotic breakdowns, and that was the only time the tour would stop. They would bring in medical help to calm down the person in psychosis. And it was fascinating how many people volunteered to be part of this, having no idea that this guy meant it. All right. And so all the events were detailed and presented. A journalist presented it to McCamey. His only line was no comment. And extreme haunt. And I understand that they're now, at the time was a 24,000 person waiting list, now much longer than that. There was a $20,000 reward for anyone able to complete it. Now, they say there's no safe word, but no one ever has. How they got out, I don't know. But, the waiver protected McCamey from broken bones, dislocation of limbs, crushed limbs, and blackouts. You might be slapped, shoved, or restrained. Yeah, okay, fine. Apparently, as I say, San Diego, decided that this was just not the scene of the crime, literally. And so it was that that they've relocated to Tennessee now, I think 2019. But here's the deal. There are still, through social media, throngs of people ready to help him. You know, there's stories about people being abused and tortured to the degree that it would be, well, there is a drive to shut down McCamey Manor. I think that has almost 200,000 signatures right there. And there have been 8 petitions over the years and all of that. But for everybody who's saying the horror of it all, and you look at some of these pictures, there's horror. There's someone else saying, oh, good, can I come? What on earth is wrong? All right, so we try to just have fun instead. There will be no haunted houses here. Haunted memories from the world's worst hit records, no doubt. So, before we get to Ruth and Gurney, I want to open the polls officially. Yeah, Ruth had called, but I don't think she's calling to nominate a song. So we'll go to Fran in Austin, the first vote of the year. So, all right, Fran, I'll take as many as you got.
Okay, I love this. Wives and Lovers.
Okay.
I hate that song.
You know, it's horrible. I guess
I even hated it when it wasn't considered to be politically incorrect.
Yeah, there must be something wrong with me because I always liked it.
I was kind of surprised, you know, but yeah. There are songs that I like that I don't like the lyrics of, so yeah. I understand that.
Oh, I was fine with the lyrics. You know, I mean, from back then, it was perfectly fine. Now it's a little dated, shall we say. You know,
Jack even when I was a kid, you know, like, you know, well, yeah. 9 or 10 or, you know, whatever. I can't remember what year that came out, but I remember the first
64.
Time I heard it, I'm thinking, I don't want a guy like that.
Yeah, 64.
I don't want to have to, you know... And then Gary and I were kidding about it last night, and I said, so, you know, like, if I ran to your arms the moment
he
I
comes
come home
to
you, you'd probably knock me out of the way so you could get to the bathroom.
Right, exactly. Hey, little girl, comb your hair, fix your makeup. Yeah, oh, well, what can I tell you? Yeah.
And, you know, and it's a put-down of men, too, because, you know, yeah, it seems like a put-down, and men will always be men, so it's okay if they cheat, because they're just men, and they can't control their impulses.
It sounds a lot like Burt Bacharach now that I think about it. Too much like... yes, well, case
anyway,
in point.
So that's the first one.
Okay.
Of course, I always do Horse with No Name.
Oh, America, yes.
Ugh.
Been to the desert,
you know,
on a horse with
no name. If I could say any song by, I would do that, but I...
Right,
know,
yes,
I know
right, right. No, I'm glad, right. I know there'd be a short poll if we did that, but there'd easily be a solid 10. But yes, so Horse with No Name, America, okay.
And I would say anything by, but I will choose Everybody Loves Somebody Sometime.
Okay, Dean Martin.
I cannot stand Dean Martin.
Okay, all right.
He always sometime. Sounds like he's... in the bag or something.
Yeah, and that was an act. That's what's so funny about it.
Yeah, I know. That was part of the whole thing.
Right.
That, you know.
But yeah, no, I know. Even when he's singing a straight song, you think he must have been imbibing before recording. Yes, I agree.
Right. I heard, and I don't know if this is true or not, but I heard that he actually was not a drinker.
No, that's what I say. It wasn't for real. It was water in that glass on the TV show.
Ah, okay.
Yeah,
I guess, you know,
he made it out to be vodka.
Somewhere.
Yeah, I'm not saying he never had a drink, but he wasn't of all the all of them of that ilk, you know, Sammy and Frank and everybody else. He was probably the least likely to want a drink.
Yeah, and you know, having seen My Shit or Drunks, he does a darn good job of faking
Oh yeah.
It.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, and Having My Baby.
Oh, yes, Paul Anka and Odia Coates. Still sounds like a dry cleaner, but all right.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Let's see.
And that was
and
like
1970.
Yeah, I was going to say that was like 1976. At least Wives and Lovers was 64. By 76, man, Paul Anka should have known better. And the worst part is it was a big hit.
Yeah, and it was redone by a number of people.
No, tell me no. Oh, be still
I
my
heard
heart.
That it was redone by, I don't know, there was a country version somewhere that I heard.
Oh, man. So I'm going to secondhand songs right now as we speak to see who else would have redone Having My Baby. Oh, man. All right, maybe that would explain drinking. I'm not sure, but let's see what we get. Is there some other title? Because it says there's no results for Having My Baby.
Oh, that's weird, because I could swear, I don't know.
Well, No. I mean, there's no results. They don't even admit Paul Anka, so I must not have the title exactly right. You know, if you miss a word or something, these they're not so bright. So let's see what it says.
Maybe it's Your Having My Baby.
In parentheses, it's Your. In parentheses, there it is on the label, Your Having My Baby. Okay, well, let's go back and add a Your and see what they think about it. I'm sure somebody must have redone it, but what a pain. So you're, in parentheses, having, with an apostrophe, of course, my baby. All right. No, they're not admitting to this song.
No.
That's hilarious.
Oh, weird, because I could have swear. I don't know what. Maybe I'm misremembering something, but
well,
I could have sworn that I heard a country version.
Well,
let's
look at the Wikipedia, because, you know, they have a habit of doing songs, and yes, of course, they've done this one. All right. Yes, recorded as a duet with Odia Coates. I'm telling you, dry cleaner. So it was number one, 15 years since his prior number one, Lonely Boy. All right, so let's see. Wrote the song for his wife and their four daughters while appearing at Lake Tahoe. All right. Well, never mind that. Let's get Hua. No. No. The song has been covered by various artists. Bob Dylan, Bruce Springsteen.
Oh, my God.
Glenn Danzig.
I can't Michael, even hear that.
Michael Jackson. Yeah,
wow.
I know. It leaves you speechless. So now, of course, you know I'm going to the dreaded YouTube right now, because if it's anywhere, it's there. You think we ought to try for the Bob Dylan version of Having My Man?
I can't even imagine what that would sound like.
Yeah, it reminds me many years ago when Pat Sajak was doing booth announcing in Nashville. All he was supposed to say is WSMTV for Nashville, but he'd always say things, and it was things like, send $5 for your copy of Kate Smith Sings the Rolling Stones' Greatest Hits to WSMTV for Nashville. And you know, I'll tell you, if and this would be probably about the time that that this was being covered, if he had said, and now Bob Dylan sings Having My Baby, I would have thought, yep, that's Sadie. But no, apparently it's real. So let's see.
Some of my friends and I used to do this thing where we would, you know, say a title of a song and the least, like, you know, some really weird person doing it, you know, that would just, you know, the idea of them doing that would be just really weird. And we, you know, the more far out, the better. You know, like Pat Boone doing In a Gotta Da Vida. Or,
yeah,
know, something.
Oh, yeah,
like
absolutely. Now, this is interesting. I got to get more into YouTube, but it does not give me that. And I can't believe if he recorded it that it wouldn't give me that. Now, of course, he did I'll Be Your Baby Tonight, but that's Flatt and Scruggs, you know, so that's
I've heard of that one, definitely.
Yeah, let's go directly to YouTube here and see what we can. Yeah, because I'm sure if Bob Dylan did this, some wretched soul would have put it on YouTube. I mean, I don't believe that it would have gone unnoticed. So let's see. I'm going to do the your again. Your, parentheses, your, parentheses. Haven. Okay. All right. Now let's see. They're saying having. Okay. No, but it's having my baby. All right. Let's see here. No, I've got lots of did you mean Bob Dylan? That's hilarious. Yes, I did mean Bob Dylan. I really did. But apparently
that was my question when you first said that. Yeah, did you really?
Yeah, exactly. No, I find absolutely no evidence of this Wikipedia comment. Now it says Bruce Springsteen did it. I'm having trouble with that, and Michael Jackson. So hang on, I got to do some
Jackson. Oh my God!
I know. I got to do some investigating here. I think somebody's having too good a time on Wikipedia. Don't go away. stay right where
okay.
You are. This is not possible, is it? On WGN Radio. Oh, it's my turn. Yes, and I know this too, and I should have done this earlier. But it's time for me to talk about one of my favorite subjects. Well, radio, yeah. And when I talk about radio, I think of the C-Crane Company, because those are the absolute best radios. And I want to mention the CC Wi-Fi 3. It's 10% off right now. Actually, it's 10% off any purchase more than $50. So if you're buying more than $50, you get 10% off. But the CC Wi-Fi 3 is an excellent choice. Just as all the radios that Bob Crane has developed have wonderful reception, both AM and FM, the Wi-Fi radio has killer reception too. And in this case, what that means is that I don't care how weak your wireless access point is, yeah, your Wi-Fi setup, this radio will connect and easily too. You can look at the instructions, but you probably won't need to. It's one of those things that is just intuitive, and I think you'll have no trouble with it whatever. You can go to ccradio.com and take a look at the CC Wi-Fi 3. Firstly, the audio is better than any smartphone in the world. It has everything you've ever wanted, all the things that are online. We're talking about 30, 40,000 radio stations from all over the world, and it's set up well so it's intuitive to find. You don't have to sign up for an app. There's no microphone. There are no ads on the screen. There's no monthly fee. and it's got a full-size remote control. And it will, as I say, connect seamlessly to your wireless access point, and the world will be your oyster. You can listen to this show on WGN Radio or on the Raleigh stream. So either way, but I'm telling you, 30, 40,000 things from which to choose that are actually radio-related, not to mention things that aren't, yeah, you'll be busy. So if you have any trouble with Wi-Fi radios and say too complicated or doesn't connect, this is your answer. It's the CC Wi-Fi 3. Go to ccradio.com. Anytime, ccradio.com. Want questions? Got questions? You want them answered? They got the best customer service, 800-522-8863, 800-522-TUNE. But if you go online, and obviously if you want a Wi-Fi radio, you can go online. Go to ccradio.com. Great information as well as great products. You'll find something you just got to have. Right now, spend more than $50. It's 10% off. That doesn't happen often with the Sea Crane Company. Look at that CC Wi-Fi 3. Tell me you don't love it. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and it is the world's worst hit records. That doesn't count. Sunday Sharp did not have a hit with it, 1975 on UA. But I got a story. All right. By the way, you won't see it anywhere that Larry Butler produced that, maybe in small prints, but he did. And Larry Butler in Nashville was interesting. We had a very interesting kind of love-hate relationship when he found out that, you know, here I was promoting number one records and I didn't listen to them. He went just crazy. But my theory was always that if you're going to promote a record and this is your job, you shouldn't necessarily be biased by what you think of it. So traditionally, I wouldn't listen to the records. Well, of course, he went crazy. And it started from there. But we would talk because we lived in the same apartment building. And sometimes he'd get back from a session and he'd just be, you know, just had it type thing. And I remember one of them was Sunday Sharp. And he hated this woman. Now, I don't know about personally, but I mean in the studio. And I remember he recorded all these, you know, oldies and stuff, like Put Your Head on My Shoulder. And when he came in that day, he said, "Shoulder, it's got a D in it, shoulder. This woman keeps saying, put your head on my shoulder." And so, but, you know, I heard the record, and of course I made it worse because I said, "You know, Larry, I don't think it's that bad.
Put your head on my shoulder."
I think there's a D in there, but yeah, Larry sure didn't. But I thought it was definitely superior to Having My Baby. But so we're talking to Fran. So all right, Fran, I unearthed that gem, but there is no evidence anywhere that Bob Dylan, Bruce Springsteen, Glenn Danzig, or Michael Jackson recorded Having My Baby.
Oh, strange. Yeah, Gary just told me during the break that it was Having Your Baby, that was the country version I was thinking of.
Well, now you heard it. Yes, Sunday Sharp. I'm Having Your Baby.
At least I know I'm not going crazy.
Oh, you're absolutely
not about that.
It, not only was that a single, but it came out on an album, too. Oh, I mean, this was painful.
Hey.
Yeah, that's that's it. In fact, I think the album might have been titled I'm Having Your Baby. And, yeah.
And by the way, that sounded like Shoulder to me.
Well, I never get it. Larry's no longer alive, so I can tell stories about him now. But anyway, yeah, he was just fit to be hot. Shoulder, she won't. I don't know, Larry. I kind of like it, you know. And I did kind of like it. So yeah, what can I tell you? But yes, an entire album.
Anyway, so that's the ones for. Oh, I really like that little montage that you had at the beginning of the show. That was great.
Oh, thank you. I used to do. There's many of them. I used to do them as my intro because when I was syndicated, there were some stations that wanted an extra minute of commercial time. So those montages were, you know, like exactly 60 seconds generally, so that a station that didn't want to, air me could air their commercial. And so that's why they existed. We used to do a lot of them, but not many have remained. I think I've got a Thanksgiving one somewhere that we'll unearth for Thanksgiving.
Yeah. I've heard some of them that you play on Turkey Night, Thanksgiving, that you put together of some of the songs we hate.
Oh, absolutely, yes. Oh, yeah, some of the montages, absolutely. So those are four fine choices. You're starting out in style.
Oh yeah, John always says, "Are you going to vote for everything in the catalog?"
right, exactly. Yeah, anything the adult contemporary stations play, just all of them. Yeah, absolutely. I would be right alongside you on all of that. But I should mention, of course, if people have had stomach turning events thinking about things like having my baby or horse with no names, they should second it because it is a cumulative poll. You can vote for as many songs as you want, only one song, only one time per song, but everybody else can second it. So good. All right.
Yeah, that's the hard thing, trying to remember which ones I already did so I don't do them again.
Oh, yeah, well, and we don't have... Well, Carol actually is somewhat anal retentive about this. She might know. I would never know, but she might actually know. So, I'll just take it at your honesty and try not to worry about it. And you're voting. I mean, there's enough voting problems going on right now. The hell with this polls voting. It's whatever you vote for.
That's right. This is important voting.
That's right. That's absolutely right. And there's no ballot box. Don't set it on fire, even though you might want to.
No. So, yes. And don't throw them out of a truck.
Right. That too. That's exactly right. So, all right. But other than that, keep those votes coming. Yeah, vote often, vote early.
I will.
All right, thanks.
Tomorrow.
No, I won't be. You see, that's why...
Oh, no, you won't be there tomorrow. Yeah, tomorrow.
Right, we're celebrating Halloween tonight because the Blackhawks have decided to play on the West Coast on Halloween, so I am fully preempted.
Oh.
So, but we'll be back Monday for Monday Night Trivia.
Okay.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it. All right,
sure,
so
thanks.
That is the deal. Now, we won't be back next Tuesday because... WGN made an absolutely correct decision. You know, so here it is, election coverage. Who do you not want on the air during election coverage? That's right. So it's a night off for me. 888-876-5593. Ruth and Gurney, welcome back to WGN Radio. How's it going, Ruth?
Hi, thank you, Raleigh. Hope so for you, too. It's going good. I second Fran, get the gavel. I second her on her first choice. There's a fine line between... love and lust.
Okay, all right.
So she sees all the way to heaven with her wisdom.
On wives and lovers.
Choice.
Okay, well, I consider it seconded. All right, we've had our first second. That's excellent.
Okay, so I do have two nominations, but I had a happy birthday wish for someone.
Okay, firstly, happy birthday to who?
To a former Lake County Sheriff's Deputy and his wife for tomorrow, Halloween. George and Sally Martin, graduates of St. Joseph's Kenosha. Whenever I mentioned George's name to other police officers, they would raise their eyebrows. And he was just incredible. And I can only say that Semper Fi, faithful friends who were near to us, will be dear to us again once more.
All right.
But he was the kind of cop who... he couldn't get the approval from some other friends who were chief because he was too nice. But one day he walked into the sheriff's office and they said, George did it. George took it. George took it. George said, what did I take? And they said, these papers, you took them. And George answered back, and I took one for you and you and you and you. And I thought that was an incredible quick comeback to say, I took them all and I took one for all of you. So happy birthday and God bless your family, George. Now, nominations for the awards.
Yes.
I want to do Secondhand Rose because this is not a sign of humility, this song, worried about secondhand clothes and, okay. and what you look like and whatever it is, you know, and you want to be a fashionista.
Okay.
There's nothing wrong with secondhand clothes, so I nominate that as a probably a hit record.
It was. Barbara Streisand. Like yes, absolutely a hit record. Secondhand Rose, that counts.
Okay, next nomination would be, I prefer this song to have the word silly in it, and it's a Patsy Cline, Crazy.
Wow.
I'd rather say I'm silly for feeling so lonely or whatever it is. I don't particularly like the word crazy.
Mm.
And one more thing about George Martin.
Mm.
Someone called me on the phone, and I didn't recognize the voice. And they said, do you want to get it on? And I said, pervert, and I hung up. And so when I realized, I'm glad you're laughing, you'd laugh all the way to the money, to the banks, if you knew the things that I have in my background. You don't know the half of it. But I went to the person's house to explain, and they called the police on me.
Oh, no.
And George got on the radio and called the other officer in the area, patrolling at the time. He did do the courthouse for Lake County for a long time. But he was patrolling, and he got on the air, and he said, that's a friend of mine. But I was already gone. I left right away. So there was no way that anybody was going to have a squad car pull up on me, all because I knocked on somebody's door to make an explanation. Crazy by Patsy Cline.
Mm.
I don't think that's a great word. She could have used something else.
Well,
for the
song. She didn't, of course. Willie Nelson wrote it.
Did he really? There
yes.
is an item that you can purchase in a catalog, which is the bust of Willie Nelson, and it grows hair. Green.
Oh, kind of like the Chia Pets.
Exactly.
Oh,
yeah.
Great.
Yeah, it's a Willie Nelson Chia Pet.
Well,
in
there,
one of the catalogs.
There
that
you have
came
it.
Out for this. All right. For the seasons. Okay, Raleigh, thank you so
thanks
much.
Thanks for calling.
God bless.
Good
Bye-bye.
Deal. Appreciate it. Yes, so fine choices. So, all right, crazy. Now, that, I will say, has never made the list. Gee, but we'll see. Who knows? Maybe you hate it for whatever reason. So we had Fran's votes. We had okay, so we're going to get Sherry is going to vote and from Highland, and Lisa from Dundee, and Leah and Marcus Hook, and Room for You Too, World's Worst Hit Records, the opening votes tonight on WGN Radio.
Don't you ever invite your boyfriend here? I like to be here alone. You just answer the door and feed the deer and fight the telephone. Got to learn these words and I know you will, or I'll send you right back to Guayaquil. Say Buonasino. Se Buonasino. Se Buonasino. Se Buonasino. Got to peel your eyes for the heat, my dear. You got the frost and bone. Got to send away the mad puppeteer. Home.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and that was a shock when I came to the flip side in 1978. The Carpenters, Buonasino Home. It was a shock because it had been on Michael Frank's album the year before, Buonasino Home, and I thought, wow, that. But you know, didn't fully surprise me because poor Karen Carpenter. You know, she was stuck singing this stuff that absolutely some of them will get votes for the World's Worst Hit Records. But in reality, her own tastes, she loved R&B, and I have a feeling that she was the one who said, hey, why don't we do Buonasino Home? And they did. All right, so 888-876-5593. We got a first-time caller. Gail is in Cary. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Hello.
How are you? Thanks for calling. So what songs do you hate?
Anything by this guy named Bobby Goldsboro.
You have to pick one. Now, because we don't do anything by, but or else, you know, we'd be done quickly. But, of course, most people, I mean, I don't want to sway your votes, but when it comes to Bobby, most people pick Honey. But whatever you hate most by Bobby Goldsboro.
Well, that would be right up there.
Okay. All right, so no Me Japanese Boy, I Love You, Honey. Okay, you got it.
That's good enough for me. And I wish I had your mind. You have a mind like a steel trap. I listen to you, and I can't believe all the stuff that you know.
Well, yeah, but you see, the thing is, if it happened 60 years ago, it's just like it happened a minute ago. However, if I walk into the next room, half the time I say, now, why did I come here? No, I can't hold a thought hostage. Short-term memory, forget it. It's gone. But long-term memory, you want to talk about 1963? Fine, I remember every minute.
You know, radio stations, dates, names, oh my gosh. It's like, you should write a book.
Well, I did, actually. I did write a book, and it's absolutely free. And if you go to Raleigh.net, you can click on the link and read it to your heart's content, because it sold out, and then I caught some people trying to sell it for hundreds of dollars on Amazon, and I thought, screw this, and I made it free.
Well, I mean, you are a national treasure.
It's nice of you. It's not true, but nice to say. Now, we got you to call because of the world's worst hit records. What's it going to take to get you to call again?
Guts.
All right. Well, then I'm counting on it. Let's build up those guts, gal. I want to hear from you again soon.
Okay. Well, thank you, Rowley. Right,
thanks. Appreciate it. All right, so nice to meet Gail. Yeah, thank you. Gail and Carrie. All right, so how nice. Good to meet Gail. Now, let's see. Sherry in Highland, Indiana. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. How are you?
All right, how about yourself?
I'm okay. When you brought up songs, I have four of them for
good.
You.
Good. What do you got?
Okay, Africa by Toto.
Good choice. Okay, all right.
Okay, that's a big hater. Yeah. Escape, the Pina Colada song by Rupert Holmes.
Yeah, what a shame, because Rupert Holmes is one of the most brilliant, talented people, and for that to be what people know him for is just painful.
Well, you know what? I was a kid when this came out, so I didn't understand it, and as I got older, I was like, wait a second, he's cheating on his lady.
And she's cheating on him. But I'll tell you a funny story about that. When he wrote the song, he was trying to get something wrong. He'd never heard of pina coladas. And someone said, well, use pina coladas. He said, well, what exactly is it? I had to look it up.
Oh, man. he's missing out on a delicious beverage.
Well, I think he knows now.
Yeah, he better. This next one, I love Elvis. Love him. Except for In the Ghetto.
Oh, okay. Yes.
That's like the world's most depressing song. It makes me want to jump off a roof.
Well, I would tend to think that it surprised me, too, that everybody wanted to hear that. Mac Davis wrote that.
Oh, he did?
Yes.
I did not know that.
Yes.
Mac Davis is kind of depressing, then, isn't
it? Yeah, I would say so. Yeah, absolutely. That's a fine choice.
Okay, and then the last one is I got it off of a K-Tel album when I was a kid.
Perfect.
This song scared the bejesus out of me. It was Run, Jilly, Run.
Oh, absolutely.
David Geddes, right. You know,
David Geddes.
Yeah, let's go, you know, have to tell our dad we're pregnant, and then he shoots us when he's aiming the gun at the boyfriend.
Right.
No.
Daddy,
no, I want to be happy when I hear music.
You know what's really horrible about that? When I first heard the opening, Daddy, please don't. I said, oh, no, it's going to be a pornographic song. So it turned out it wasn't. Thank God for that. But the way she said it, I thought, man, I could see a movie in the making.
Yeah, well, they probably could make a movie about that.
Yeah. Daddy, please don't. So, exactly. Yeah, Run, Joey, Run. Yeah, that was the rest of us. We ran. We changed the station. It was actually like physical fitness. Run to change that radio station.
Well, yeah, and, and Africa, that song came out probably 82, 83, I'm thinking.
Uh-huh.
And I was like a freshman in high school. And, oh, man, they never stop playing that darn song. And it's just, I don't even, it comes on and that's just it for me. So
I'm with you. I'm not a fan. And I like some of their stuff, but that was definitely not one of them.
You're right.
It was a huge, I mean, huge hit. You couldn't escape it.
Mm-hmm. Over and over and over again.
Yeah. All right. Well, all good choices, and I hope you'll add to it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Appreciate it.
Bye.
All right, so hour number two coming up right here on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. The Beach Boys, you say, what are you playing Darlin' for? Well, because Jim in Wisconsin requested it. And actually, when he first said Darlin', I was so excited because I thought he knew the Donnie Gerard record from 1976. But he didn't. He knew the Beach Boys from 1968 on Capitol. And I figure we'll give equal time to Donnie Gerard next. Yes, on the Greedy label. I kid you not. All right, so 888-876-5593, the world's worst hits. And if there's something else you want to talk about, it by all means, feel free to interrupt, because voting opened tonight and will go through the night before Thanksgiving. So whatever you're talking about, you can in the middle of it say, oh, and I want to nominate this, or I want to second this, because, again, it is cumulative. So right now, Jax Jones, Wives and Lovers is winning for number one, because it's gotten two votes. Yeah, right. But it's early in the game. So let's see, what does Jack in St. Charles have to say? Welcome back to WGN Radio.
I was hoping you'd play a couple of tunes for me.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Let's see. Coasters, Little Egypt.
Okay, step right up and see Little Egypt do her famous dance of the pyramids.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the Five Keys, Wing Ping Tong.
Okay, yeah. Good choices. Happy
Thank
to.
You.
All right. Now, are you going to vote on
Happy
the world's
Halloween.
Vote on the world's worst, or you just want to hear your faves?
Just my faves.
Okay. I'll play you Little Egypt next.
I try not to be indiscreet about what I don't like. Right. I never know who's sitting next to me at the bar.
Well, there is that. But remember, the key here is the world's worst hit record. So every one of these, someone is laughing all the way to the bank.
Yeah.
So we don't like to make fun of them. So, all right.
Yeah. I don't like the Carpenters. But a lot of my friends do.
Well,
they get in my face.
All right. If you can think of any Carpenters record you hate, we'll put it on the list. Which do you like least of all? I know, it's a tough choice.
I never made a study of it. I'm sorry.
Well, if you think of it, you call us back.
10-4.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it. Yes, I know, the list is endless. We've only just begun. That used to be the Crocker Bank commercial, so yeah, it tells you all you need to know. All right, so Lisa in Dundee, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hello, Raleigh. How are you?
All right, how about yourself?
Just fine. Before I give you my songs, have we ever heard from Barb recently, the lady
you
that...
know, no, I know exactly who you mean. The lady who was having the long distance romance.
Yes. Because I was so worried about her
every
time she called in, and then I haven't heard anything, but, you know, I don't listen sometimes to the entire program.
Yeah,
so.
I have not heard from her in a while. Barb, if you're out there, check in. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, for my songs, you know, I have to always say You Light Up My Life, because that's my worst
Oh, yeah. Well, and
in the whole wide world.
I'd be very surprised if that doesn't come in there a pretty high ranking. So let's you're the first vote for it this year. Yeah.
Good. Okay, and then my second one is Lay Lady Lay by Bob Dylan.
Yes, okay.
I mean, talk about, the words and how awful they are, and it's just a monotonous song, and I just have never liked it.
And you hate it, so that's
yeah,
perfect.
I mean, I like Bob Dylan, don't get me wrong, yeah. But just not that song.
That's a perfect vote. That's exactly what we're looking for.
Okay, great.
All right.
Okay, well,
thanks
that's
for calling.
It, and I'll talk to you on Monday.
I hope so. Appreciate it.
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
Yeah, it's a fine choice. And I assume that Lisa was referring, of course, to the Debbie Voon version of You Light Up My Life. As bad as that was, and it was, what caused Leanne Rimes to want to redo it? Now, I say, that's why I say laughing all the way to the bank. Here we are saying, oh, my God, just horrible, I'm nauseous and all that. It was a big hit by both of them. So I guess the record-buying public, a scary thought all the way around. All right, Leah and Marcus Hook, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Thank you, Raleigh. How are you tonight?
All right, how about yourself? How you feeling?
Oh, I'm okay. The weather got hot again, and I don't like it.
It did?
Yeah, it's like in the 80s now.
Oh, man. I wonder how that happened.
I don't know. Some Gulf Stream.
Yes. Something or other. So, any news with the teeth?
No, I'm going tomorrow to get the fitting for the upper again. And
all right.
So, I'm hoping by Thanksgiving. I don't know.
Oh, man, yeah. Yeah, geez.
I don't know.
Yeah, we were thinking this was going to be August.
Yeah, I know. I'm sure they have. I'm thinking they must have the bottoms done already.
Well, because
I don't know. I'm going to ask them when I go in.
That hasn't changed, right?
No, that hasn't changed. So they should have them done already.
You would think. Oh, I don't know. Maybe they need to match them to the top. I don't know how this works.
Yeah, I don't know either. I'll have to find out.
Yeah.
When I go in tomorrow too, is my appointment.
Okay.
So. Yeah, I wore flip flops today.
Wow.
When I went out.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, I wore a sweater, so the world is topsy-turvy, I guess.
Yes, it is, but it's supposed to go back down on Friday, I hope.
All right.
For this weekend, anyway. Sunday's supposed to be really cold, so that'll be nice. Yeah, I don't know. But just call me garbage.
So what are we hearing? What do we got?
I wanted to second... you're having my baby.
Good choice.
And I wanted to second what Lisa just said. What were the ones she said?
I'm going to put them in alphabetical order now. So let's see who said what when. I have America, Paul Anka, Debbie Boone, Patsy Cline, Bob Dylan. Bob Dylan, Lay Lady Lay was on. Bobby Goldstone.
That one. I wanted to second that one, Lay Lady Lay.
All right.
I'm the ultimate Bob Dylan fan, but I hate that song.
Okay. Very good.
And I wanted to nominate. And I love Dean Martin, but I want to nominate "You're Nobody Till Somebody Loves You."
Okay.
I really hate that sentiment. I really hate it.
All right, good enough. I'm writing it down. It's on the list.
I may have been garbage, but I wasn't nobody. Okay.
All righty then. All right.
And. You know, I mean, I always knew that the drunk thing was an act. I mean, I grew up in show business, behind the scenes. I knew it was an act.
Yeah.
Because nobody who's that tipsy all the time can remember all those song lyrics and all the lines and all the movies that he did. You know, I mean, come on. You saw what happened to Marilyn Monroe. She couldn't remember any lines.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, I mean, Dean Martin drank socially. It's not like he didn't drink anything.
Right, but he couldn't have been that.
No, exactly.
He wouldn't have remembered anything, you know?
Exactly. And, you know, so no. On stage, it was water, or if he wanted it to look like scotch, which was his favorite beverage, it was apple juice.
Right, so, right.
Yeah.
And I just love his voice. It's just so soft and so... Yeah. I just love his dulcet tones.
Right. Yeah, no, I absolutely. And everybody I know who worked with him liked him, you know, so he had a good reputation that way. The opposite of Jerry Lewis.
That's what I heard.
Yeah, not to speak nasty of the dead. He is dead, isn't he? But geez Louise. Yeah, there were not good times had by all when they worked with him.
Yeah, I heard a lot of rumors about him. Yeah.
Sadly. All right. Yeah, any other?
Oh, I did want to. Can I ask you one thing about last night's show?
Yeah, I don't know if I remember last night's show, but go for it.
You were talking about insurance with Jim from Richmond, and you said something about a donut. What's a donut?
Okay. They don't have it anymore. Used to be on drug coverage that the first X number of dollars were paid for. They're part of the insurance plan. And then you hit what was known as the donut hole, where you weren't covered until you hit another landmark economically where they started picking up coverage again. So that donut hole was in the middle. But they did away with it for 2025.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and so that was a well-known thing that a lot of people, people who were on excessive medication, you know, like it was high enough that most people weren't going to be hitting that period. But, it's a temporary period, basically, when Medicare prescription drug plans don't cover it, and then they pick it up again. But again, in 2025, you wind up being covered. And even when you entered the donut, I think you paid 25%. They picked up some. But so anywhere, if you look at the releases for 2025, the big thing is no donut, you know, and that's the first time.
Oh, okay. Okay, great.
Yeah.
That's all I need to know. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it. All right.
Have a happy Halloween.
Oh, yes, I will. All right. 888-876-5593. I was planning to go to the bank, one of the local banks this afternoon, and first went and got my eyes examined, don't you know? And yes, we've confirmed Raleigh still can't see. Not well, anyway. And so no big changes, but because I've had retinal problems in the past, they dilate them. Boy, do they ever, right? So I come out of there, and you know, normally I know what it's like to have your eyes dilated. I have done dozens of times, and I think, well, okay, so it's just going to be a little glary. No. I got in the car and realized all I could see was shapes and colors. I wasn't seeing anything whatsoever. So there went the bank. I said to John, I don't really think we should be driving too far at this point. So instead we went out and got fajitas, which was a good time had by all. But that means tomorrow on Halloween, I guess I got to make the bank trip. Well, I'll get over it. All right, we'll get to Brian and Joliet. There's room for you, too. It's the World's Worst Hit Records or whatever else is on your mind on WGN Radio.
There'll be a day that you are mine. There'll be the day you are my love.
There'll be a day that you are my love.
There'll be a day, darling, when I know just what you say.
James. I think that was the last single that Donnie Girard actually recorded and had released anyway on Reedy Records, 1977, Darlin'. And I thought that was a fine song all the way around. And he was a soul singer from British Columbia and sadly died in 2022. So, rest in peace, Donnie Gerard, but thanks for Darlin'. Yeah, I liked it a lot better than the Beach Boys, I'll tell you what. But, hey, aim to please. 888-876-5593. Brian and Joliet has his list. I can't wait to hear it.
Well, happy Halloween first to you and John.
Yeah, and, you too.
Thank you. And I have number one is, even though I like a lot some of his other songs, Paul Anka's Having My Baby.
Good.
It's
then, in first place right now, three votes.
And then Paper Lace, The Night Chicago Died.
Yes, yes, a fine choice.
Then going back further, I think it was 1968, Vicky Carr's Let It Please Be Him.
Yes, it must be him. Oh, dear God. Hello, hello. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And one other one, whoever sung it, I could never, and I was just a kid, I couldn't take it then, Goldfinger.
Oh, okay, Shirley Bassey.
Shirley Bassey?
Yes.
So those are my four. And I have a question. Can I? Do you have any time I can
ask? Sure, absolutely. What you got?
A musical question. This guy, this man, Robert Johnson, just from a little bit I heard, did he actually write a song called Crossroads, saying that he actually thought he went somewhere to sell his soul to the devil so he could become famous? Or is that just all make-believe?
Oh, are you asking me whether he did it? Obviously, in Crossroads, he did fall down upon his knees and ask the Lord to have mercy and all that, but... I don't know that he actually, I'd have to look that up, but I've never heard that he tried to sell his soul.
So that's just like, from what little I heard is something like they said he was a real awful guitar blues man, and then he disappeared for a week and he came back, and it would be kind of, he wouldn't have been the most popular person on the block if he went around telling people that he actually tried to do that to get famous.
Well, you know, he didn't live very long, as you know. So, very young, you know. You know about his death and all that, right?
No, I don't.
Oh, then hang on. Don't go away. Stay right where you are. We'll talk about it right after the news, right here on WGN Radio.
Okay, thank you.
Every night I sit here by my window. Staring at Lonely Avenue. Watching lovers holding hands and laughing. And thinking about the things we used to do.
Thinking of things
like a walk in the park.
Things
like a kiss in the dark.
Things
like a sailboat ride.
Yeah, yeah.
What about the night we cried? Things like a lover's vow. Things that we don't do now. Thinking about the things we used to do. Memories are all I have to cling to.
Cling to.
And heartaches are the friends I'm talking to.
Talking to.
When I'm not thinking of just how much I loved you. But I'm thinking about the things we used to do.
Thinking of things
like a walk in the park.
Things
like a kiss in the dark.
Things
like a sailboat ride.
Yeah.
What about the night we cried? Things like a lover's vow. Things that we don't do now. Thinking about the things we used to do. I still can hear the jukebox softly playing.
Playing.
And the face I see each day belongs to you.
Belongs to you.
Though there's not a single sound and there's no
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, we are voting on the world's worst hit records. You can do that up until the day before Thanksgiving. If you hear something you hate, second it. If you want to add anything to the list, well, suggest it. And as long as it's a hit, we don't care about the genre or the decade. Now, we're talking to Brian and Joliet about Robert Johnson. And I'll tell you, historians go crazy about this because there's no way to fact check Robert Johnson's life. We just don't know. Now, let me tell you how bad it is. In Greenwood, Mississippi, there are three different churchyards where he supposedly is buried. Well, obviously, he can't be buried in all three. So the bottom line is most of this is just, you know, tales that have made it down the years. Now, he was in his 20s when he died, and the story was that it was, in fact, the jealous husband of a woman he'd been wooing and at this juke joint near Greenwood. And he was 27 years old. But the reality is that they were saying, well, it was strychnine. No, it took him days to die. It wouldn't have been strychnine. And it was Sonny Boy Williamson, by the way, who was the one who really proffered the theory that he was flirting with this married woman and the whiskey had been poisoned by her husband and all that. But it is doubtful that is the case because it was about 3 days for him to die. And what most people think is that it actually was a concoction with naphthalene from dissolved mothballs. And that was fairly common poisoning, but rarely was it fatal. But of course, this guy probably had congenital syphilis, and that might have been, and you know, people looking at pictures and all that, so who knows? We just don't know. But the bottom line is that all the historians who say they know for sure don't. You're basing it on evidence you've heard from other people, and the one thing that everybody had in common was, well, he did tend to be flirting with these women, you know, so maybe so. But they're saying no, it probably would never have been strychnine. All right, so there are many people
That's a terrible way to go, 3 days.
I know. And there were other doctors who looked at pictures of him and said, they thought he had Marfan syndrome and that there was an aortic dissection. But nobody knows. Now, needless to say, he made it to 27. And now let's get to the devil and selling his soul to the devil. Firstly, this
is Halloween.
Yeah, it is. That's right. We might as well talk about this. Now, first, before I do, normally when you sold your soul to the devil, what you're talking about musically is you stopped doing the gospel music and started doing, mainstream. That was selling your soul to the devil. So that was a phrase for that, having nothing to do with the devil in reality. But, you know, if you stopped doing the gospel stuff and started doing secular, well, you sold your soul to the devil. All right. But that said, the story, the legend of selling your soul to the devil to be a good musician actually predates Robert Johnson. Tommy Johnson, who was no relationship to Robert Johnson, who grew up near the Dockery Plantation, because the crossroad that in question is near the Dockery Plantation. All right, so anyway, Tommy grew up near that, and he was the one who claimed he had sold his soul to the devil at the crossroads in exchange for his mastery of the guitar. And so there are so many stories about this that there are historians who have chronicled the story. Gail Dean Wardlow was one. There were two or three others as well. And the deal is that no one knows for sure. And the detail that came up in Robert Johnson was he got his mastery from a large black man at a crossroads. But, you know, there's no reason to actually believe this. You certainly can go back and realize that someone said it, but, not likely. And I know Robert Johnson was completely undiscovered for at least 20, 25 years after he died, to say the least. And, you know, when he started getting some recognition, there are so many, many stories about that. But I think Peter Guralnick actually wrote a book. I never did read it, but he's a great author. But in any event, the deal is these are all rumors or tales, if you will. I don't think there's any chance that Robert Johnson sold his soul to the devil, as far as that goes. I think the one thing that is true is he was kind of a rambling, kind of happy-go-lucky kind of guy who liked the women and made it to 27. Mississippi.
What state did all this supposed to take place in again?
Mississippi.
Mississippi?
Yes, and he was born in Hazelhurst. And supposedly he died in Greenwood. And I don't know. I had a good friend who had a radio station in Greenwood. So, yeah, sadly he killed himself. But that's been a number of years now, too. But anyway, supposedly he died before my friend was born. He supposedly died in 1938. And, you know, that's the deal. But, you know, what's so fascinating, as I say, from 1938, really, for 30 years almost, no one knew who this person was, you know, in terms of any real notorious stuff. But he did a concert called From Spirituals to Swing, which would give rise the idea of selling your soul to the devil. It would give it some credence there, but usually, again, it's thought of as stopping gospel music and starting secular.
I see. Well, thank you so much, Raleigh, for your time. Mm-hmm. And look forward to talking to you on Trivia Monday.
Absolutely. Wish I knew more about this, but it doesn't look like anybody does. But thanks. Talk to you then.
Thank you.
All
bye-bye.
Right. So, yeah, it's so convoluted, and I haven't read the many books. I've read a few things. But the fact that he's got three different grave sites in Greenwood told me all I needed to know about finding the truth about that. Oh, Jim in Richmond's going to give us some votes, and that's coming up next right here on WGN Radio.
I'm running, yes, before it's too late, trying to get away from that jailbait. It's a rough temptation, but a common invitation and a good association, but a quick elimination that will take you out of circulation. Yes, I'm talking about that younger generation. So take my advice, fellas, for goodness sake. 15, 16, 17, that's jailbait. Now they swear that they're in love, that you and her by stars above, and she's looking mighty good, just like a young girl should. We try to tell you no, and let that young girl go, but you know it all, you have yourself a ball, and now that it's too late, as you look from cell number 8, I tried to tell your mate. Seventeen and a half is still jailbait.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Of course, that's Andre Williams. Yeah, on a wonderful Fortune label, Deborah Brown and her husband's great little label in Detroit. 1956 on Fortune. And why'd I play it? Well, I was looking, and actually, he would have had a birthday on Friday. He would have turned 88 years old. He was originally born in Bessemer in Alabama, but he moved to Detroit, and that's where he did all that great stuff with Fortune, really, Bacon Fat and so much more. And then he was in Chicago for quite a while, Chess Records and other things like that, and wrote a number of things, Shake a Tail Feather and more, and Twine Time, and we could go on and on. But sadly, died in 2019 in Chicago, 82 years old. But he was quite the guy. So, yes, jailbait. 17 and a half is still jail. 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh. All right, so Jim is in Richmond with some votes on the world's worst hit records. Hey, Jim, how are you?
I'm doing fine. And after I give you my picks, can I tell you what happened today?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, my picks are, I cannot believe it, but it was the number one song in 1969 for the year.
Uh-uh.
Sugar, Sugar.
Oh, the Archies. Yes, the Archies.
Yes, the Archies.
Yes.
And I could not, I remember back in 69, and I go, what's the number one song? Because you know how they would do that. And then they said Sugar, Sugar, and I go, come on, you know.
And then that told you, by the way, everything that was wrong with top 40 radio at that moment in time.
Right. And then the other one was Yummy, Yummy, Yummy.
Oh, okay. All right. 1910 Fruit Gum Company.
Right. And I was going to say that. And then I'll go with Having My Baby Too.
Oh, good. Fine choice.
Okay. And then number two is Thank You for Playing, Darling.
Sure.
And I wanted to tell you what that was about, because earlier in that day when I requested it, it was a whole episode on Big Bang Theory. Sheldon had the melody in his head, and he couldn't get it out of his head, and he didn't know where it was from.
Ah.
And at the end of the movie, I mean, the end of the show, about 10 minutes left, he found out it was the Beach Boys, and that song is what he wanted, that he had broken up with his girlfriend Amy, and he wanted to tell her that's what it is, you know, when he said, I'm half a man, and now I can love, you know, and all that.
Okay.
And because he's a person who has no feelings.
Yeah.
He thinks he's Spock with no feelings. So that was why I wanted to hear that one.
Okay.
And then today, I was on the phone all day today.
Yeah.
I called the Department of Aging.
Yeah.
And I said I wanted to find out about Meals. And the lady cut me right off and said, I'm transferring you to Meals on Wheels.
Good.
And then I talked to them, and they were very, very nice. And Department of Aging is in Elkhorn, which is 12 miles away from me.
Right.
And we talked for a while and everything about what's you know, what they have and stuff. But they said, okay, what's your address? And they gave it to him because we can't deliver it there.
Oh, no. Why?
So then, because it's too far away.
Okay.
And they use senior drivers and stuff.
Okay.
And she said, we can't do that. So then she gave me a phone number for Meals and Wheels in Whitewater.
Okay.
So, and because, you know, 12 miles away from Elkhorn, I'm 8 miles away from Whitewater.
Okay.
So I called that lady up. Oh, she was the nicest senior woman you would ever believe.
Great.
And I talked to her, and she said, we only deliver in the town of Whitewater. Because we have all senior drivers.
You're right. Same
they're
story.
Not going to take the distance to you. But then she, you know, she said, you know what? We could deliver it to your friend's house, and then you know, your friend can bring it over to you. And I said, she's only available on Fridays.
Right, right.
So she said, well, keep that in mind, because we could always do that. And I thanked her for that. And then I called Humana.
Uh-huh.
And you were talking about this in the past, how you're really not talking to Humana.
Right.
You're talking to somebody in their house with, because one time I called and I heard kids playing in the background.
Absolutely, well, or anyway, chickens, or yes.
I'm talking to her, and she says, there's no meals program. I said, yeah, 2025. I called and last week, and they told me about it. I want more information. Oh, let me look. She looks it up. She goes, that's only available if you come out of long-term care, and we'll deliver it for a week and twice a day for a week, and you only get 14 meals within a 30-day period or something. I go, nope, that's not what you told me. You told me last week, and it was the same woman, you know.
Yeah.
And I said, you told me last week that there was meals, and it was paid for. So then I'm waiting and waiting and waiting, and then she comes back. Oh, yes, there is. There is no copay and stuff like that. Those meals are available. And she goes, and they're through Mom's Meals. And then she gave me the phone number for Mom's Meals.
Okay.
Now, I can't get them from her yet because the coverage don't start until 2025.
Right.
But I wanted to let everyone know that I'm not sitting around the house feeling sorry for myself.
Oh,
I've been making all these phone calls.
Good, it's good. So, where is Mom's Meals?
I have no idea.
Okay.
And tomorrow, I'm going to call that phone number and find out what that is about.
Okay.
Because that's what she says from Humana. it could be, you know, 50 miles away from me. You know what I mean?
Right, absolutely. So, well, that's right, good.
So I'm going to call that tomorrow.
Good.
And my joke to you is, the worst song, all the ones that I've asked you to play and you couldn't play.
Oh, no. Well, you see, those aren't your worst, and I don't get to vote. I don't get to add anything to this.
No, I'm just said that as a joke.
Oh, yeah. No, well, of course, they all would be on it, of course.
Right.
No doubt about that. But that's why I don't vote, but yes.
Right. Yeah. But, you know, that was my joke to you.
All right.
So.
Well, got it.
Okay.
All right.
Well, thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Have a great Halloween.
All right. Yes, you too. And talk to you next week.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. And Carol gave me some reminders, too. You know, she gives me all this terrific show prep, and then I, like, lose it or something. Yeah, something. But the new moon. How is it possible? The new moon is this Friday morning at 7:47 a.m., that sure came up quickly. All right, so if you're writing your prosperity checks, you want to, you know, they're not real checks, you understand that. November 1st. By the way, many people asked when will Marianne Winkowski be on again, and I'd love to know, but I'm starting to worry because I've left numerous phone messages and all that and have not heard back from Marianne. So I know she's still with us and she's still active because I see on her website she's making appearances around the Cleveland area, but we have not gotten a return call yet, and I don't know what is up with that, but we'll keep on it. But in the meanwhile, if you don't know what law of abundance is, well, go to MaryAnnWinkowski.com, and you can read all about it. And the strongest time is just before the new moon happens. So the new moon is November 1st, this Friday morning at 7:47. Also, daylight savings ends this Sunday. Yes, spring forward, fall back. So you get an extra hour, and that's at 2 a.m. And so you enjoy your extra hour if you are living where there's daylight savings time, which is most places. All right, and then, of course, again, next week, WGN makes the wise decision to not have me on the air during election coverage, yes. And, well, full Monday night trivia, as far as I know. And then on Wednesday, we might have a half-hour delay, same with Thursday, after hockey. But other than that, expect it will be a full week other than that. So those are, in fact, the notes. We've got another hour of this, and maybe some stories as well. That's right. I got plenty of things to tell you. But until then, in addition to Andre Williams, Sergeant Barry Sattler would have turned, 84 this week. Sadly, died 49. And boy, wasn't that a colorful life. Yeah, that made all the headlines in Nashville. Jay Black would have turned 86 this weekend and died a week and a half before his 83rd birthday of pneumonia, and he also had dementia. Earl Speedo Carroll, yeah, they often call me Speedo, but my real name is Mr. Earl, would have turned 87 on Saturday, died in 2012, stroke and diabetes, sadly. Maxine Nightingale, right back where we started from, is still with us, and she's 72 on Saturday, born in Wembley, London. Lead me on, and yeah, so absolutely. J.D. Souther would have turned 79 this weekend and died just last month in Sandy Park, New Mexico. Which was sad and unexpected. It was about a week before he was going to be touring with Carla Bonoff. Yeah. All right. So that's where we'll pick it up next hour. And your calls and votes and everything else, welcome right here on WGN Radio.
Come on, let's turkey trot.
Forgotten, yeah.
Come on, let's turkey trot.
Shoo, shoo, gobble, gobble, diddle-lip.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Of course, the Turkey Trot, 1963, Little Eva. If you read the label, it says that it's Carole King and her husband, Jerry Goffin. Well, I'll tell you, Morris Levy took objection to that and said, wait a minute, that's Little Girl of Mine by the Cleftones. I know that that is. And, of course, Little Girl of Mine was inspired by a Public Domain song, but never mind that. It was a gospel song. Never mind that. Morris Levy, who by then had gotten George Goldner's writing share, of course, because George kept gambling it away, insisted that both he and Herbert Cox be added to writers as the song. And they were, ultimately, not necessarily on the label, but for profits, though. How many profits there were on Let's Turkey Trot, I don't know. But there aren't that many Thanksgiving songs when you get right down to it. So before we get back to your votes, we got Gary and Sam and Chris, and I want to hear all of them. Since it is, well, it isn't anymore, I guess. It's now October 31st. It's now officially Halloween. But it was October 30th, 1978, that WKRP did their infamous turkey drop show. And that episode was truly hilarious, no doubt about it. But over the years, in terms of people saying, well, did it really happen? And a lot of people said, yeah, it happened at Quixie in Atlanta. Well, no, it didn't. But let me first back up and say that turkeys and radio have gone together certainly since the advent of Top 40, probably long before it. But the first Top 40 stations till the last Top 40 stations give away turkeys for Thanksgiving. And there were a variety of ways you would do it. And almost to this day, although I tell you, in some areas, not quite as popular because of the proliferation of EBT cards, where you can get your turkey if you have financial, not have the financial wherewithal. But I'll tell you, back in the 50s and the 60s, this was huge. Win a turkey for Thanksgiving, and there was no shortage of ways to give away the turkeys. And so the idea, by the way, of the turkey drop, that's not what happened. Not in Atlanta, not anywhere, but it did happen somewhere else. But let me get there. All right. So here's Jerry Blum, and he's the general manager of Quixie in Atlanta. And he had been the sales manager for Balaban at K-Box in Dallas in the 50s. And so he was full of stories all the way around. And one of the people that he'd tell those stories to was the creator of WKRP. And he told the story of how when he was sales manager at K-Box in Dallas, that they had a turkey promotion where they got a flatbed truck and went to a shopping center in Dallas and shoved the turkeys out of the truck thinking that they'd fly to the ground. Obviously not a very far distance, but they didn't. But on top of that, people who wanted the turkeys ran after them to the point that it was practically a riot. So that was the story from Jerry Blum. Jerry Blum never claimed to have thrown them out of a helicopter or anything else. He admitted he pushed them off the back of a flatbed truck, and maybe it wasn't his greatest idea. Well, a lot of people have done a lot of things, but then it came about, well, has anybody actually thrown them? Yes, there is a guy who did. And his name was Stephen P. Bellinger. Now, I'll see a story about him, and they say Stephen B. Bellinger. That's not who he was. It was Stephen P. Bellinger, and he was a small market owner. And in 1960, for instance, he owned three stations in Illinois, Mount Carmel and Streeter and Monmouth. By 1964, he went to WDZ, and that's Decatur, Illinois. He had ownership in all this. He was at WDZ for at least 20 years. So here comes the NAB of 1976, which is in Chicago. And one of the panels was a promotion panel. And I had a list somewhere of who was on that panel. But anyway, I'm trying to think of who the heck moderated, but I'll come back to that sometime. But anyway, our buddy Stephen P. Bellinger at the 1976 NAB, which we're talking the spring of 1976. So we're talking 2.5 years before the WKRP episode ever airs. And they're talking on the panel about promotions and sometimes how they go bad. And this was Stephen P. Bellinger.
You probably don't remember me, but in 30 seconds you will by one of the deeds that I did, so I'm going to take about 30 seconds to remind you of something. I'm the guy that did it. Wisconsin one day, you've heard about it, was written up recently in Highlights, and then it was written up again in several other places. And that was, I was the guy that was called upon to do a promotion for Thanksgiving one time. That's me. And so they asked me, what am I going to do? And I said, I got a great idea. They said, what is it? I said, I don't know. I haven't thought it up yet. The next morning we got together at breakfast. The idea was super. I fly airplanes. We're in the aviation business. And I wanted to keep the airplane tax deductible. So it was my idea to put a $100 bill around the right leg, a $100 bill around the left leg of a turkey, and then let the turkey glide down in the middle of the town with thousands of people down there waiting for the turkey. And I did. The Friday before Thanksgiving, we got up on the plane. I'm a ham. I radio down and says, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have the giant turkey glide in just a minute. You're going to win your Thanksgiving dinner, your turkey. It's going to be sensational. Thousands of people there. I told the kid in the back seat, I said, okay, let her go. He shoved the bird out. Down it went. Straight down. Didn't flap its wings once. Right through the roof of a ladies ready-to-wear store. Blood and turkey feathers all over everything, you know. And the greatest line in the whole thing was the insurance adjuster sitting across from me about a month later when I could barely speak about it. He said, now let me get this straight. You threw a what out of a witch? That was our biggest bomb.
Yeah, indeed it was. So, but that was on stage in Chicago at the NAB, literally 2.5 years before the WKRP episode. So that's where it did happen. But yeah, Jerry Blum did throw him off the back of a flatbed pickup. Oh my! But not alone. I don't think there was a radio station in America that didn't have some creative giveaway. But it was, in fact, 46 years ago tonight, October 30th, 1978, that WKRP made it a lot more fun than it was for Stephen P. Bellinger. All right, so 888-876-5593. Gary is in Austin. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Well, hey, Raleigh, that's an interesting story. I'd not heard that story. That's interesting.
Well, you knew about K-Box.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And, of course, as you well know, because you knew the area very well back then, K-Box was, at best, always runner-up to Cliff. And, of course,
yeah.
Gordon McLendon could promote anything to anyone. And so,
yeah.
You know, Jerry, when he was sales manager, thought, well, I can come up with something great that, yeah, so it gets tight. I don't remember. It was a strip mall, and I don't remember what strip mall. But sure enough, he's shoving them out of the, and, you know, he doesn't have far to fall, but these things don't, they don't glide at all.
So. No, they don't. And Turkey Trot was one of my favorite songs when I was a kid, I gotta admit. But
yeah, it was a great little song. And yeah. Then again, who else does a Thanksgiving song? Now, by the way, the PS to these turkey promotions is that some stations made it even worse with injuries when they actually were throwing frozen turkeys.
Yeah. Yeah. I used to like the turkey shoot where you'd guess which jock was gonna
shoot. Oh yes, of course. I believe I still have the carts for that. Believe it or not, I'll have to look. Then, of course, I have to find out if I still have a player for them. But yes, we used to do them on KQSS until about 8 years ago.
You could have that guy. I think his name was Ted something. They used to do news. Be one of the people could pick.
Yeah.
The guy's name was. I remember you running some tape of him.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. So yes.
But yeah, my votes.
I can't wait.
Oh, and by the way, about the little intro, that intro was really good. I remember hearing it in years past.
Yeah, of course.
And it has one of our all-time favorite songs in it, I Want My Baby Back.
Absolutely. Now, you know, there's so many death and destruction songs, but only Jimmy Cross got into the coffin.
And whenever we lose something and we find it, we go, pay dirt!
Absolutely, that's exactly right. Yes. I'm with you there.
And, so it's always good to hear that. So, but yeah, my votes are that song where, I can't remember the name of it, but this guy is having an argument with his kid, and he says, if you don't go to war...
Think! The name of the song is Think. Absolutely.
Yeah.
As soon as you said that some guy is arguing with his kid, I'm like, oh dear, it's Think. Yeah. Oh, that is just horrible. I hope it's not on this computer, but I'm afraid it might be. And yeah, Think. Oh my good God. So.
Let's see. I've never been to me.
Charlene. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And Billy, Don't Be a Hero is another one.
Right. Good choice.
Oh, there's so many. That's a good thing we have a few days to vote for more.
Yeah.
You Light Up My Life, that obviously has to be voted. And
yes.
Jungle Fever. And
Chicago's, yes.
Whenever I hear that song, it reminds me of back when it was out and the Cuz would play it on KLIF. And
right,
he would drop
right.
in, I Gotcha from Joe Tex,
right.
certain parts of that song. Yeah. So, every time I hear that, I have to listen to it just because I can hear in my mind where we would put those in.
Right.
And it was just so funny. So I'll throw that one
yeah.
out there.
I think the title of Think was called Once You Understand. I'm pretty sure. I'm going to look at... Oh, here we are. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Yes, it charted, actually, in 1974. And it was by Think. Like I say, Think is, in fact, the group. And for people who aren't aware of this gem, it did chart.
Things get a little easier once you understand. Things get a little easier.
I'll be expecting you to get a haircut understand. By Friday.
Forget it, Dad. That Things won't change anything.
Easier. Forget nothing. You'll once do as you I understand. Say as long as you're living in my house.
Things get a little easier. Once
and, of course, by the end of it, the kid's dead and Dad's upset. All right. So,
yeah.
yeah. Right.
This
Let's cut to the
one where
chase.
The kid doesn't go to war, so the yeah. dad says, if you don't go to war, I have no son.
Yeah, I think that's in there.
Oh, is that the one?
I think so.
I thought that's how it ended. Okay.
Let's see. I know. Yeah, John just came in. I'm going to listen to it when I get off the air, and if not, I'll find it.
All right.
Yeah.
And one other quick thing, Friday is Jim in New England's birthday. So.
Oh, really? Well, happy, happy, happy.
Yeah.
Hopefully he'll be I've celebrating big time.
Yeah, he will. And I've known him for, I guess, 25 years or so, and I knew his birthday was around this time of the year. So
well,
the
you
other
know,
day when I was talking, I said, when's your birthday? Because I know it's coming up soon, and... You know, so.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, we're getting into winter now, too, into fall at least. Maybe he should think about going back to New Orleans.
Yeah, maybe he should.
Yeah, yeah, not another winter in New Hampshire. Something's wrong with that.
Yeah, it's a little bit too cold for me. But
yeah. Yeah, well, now, so I'll listen to this as soon as I get off there, every word of it, and then if it's not in there, I'll find out what it is. Now, the problem is it might not be a hit if it's not in this.
Yeah, I think this was I remember hearing it on the radio from time
to time. Oh, well, so somebody played it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah, so those are my votes for now.
A fine choice is every one of them.
I'll try to come up with some even worse ones next time.
Oh, I can't wait.
Possible.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
All right,
sure.
Good deal. So, 888-876-5593. We defer to first-time callers, and Rich is one of them. He's a first-time caller in Milwaukee. So, Rich, welcome to WGN Radio.
Thank you very much. I've enjoyed your show for a long time now, and I just had to call on this one.
Oh, good. I'm so pleased. What do you got?
Bad tunes. Anything by the B-52s. I don't understand. They got a guy that sings every song. He can't sing. He's singing with a couple of gals who can sing. He must either be the originator of the group or married to one of those gals, but he just irritates me.
Well, we can't do anything by, but I think the B-52s only had one actual hit record, and that was Rock Lobster. So can we go with that?
We can.
All right. Consider it on the list.
When you listen to that song, you'll understand what I'm talking about.
Oh, no, I know. Yeah, they formed at the University of Georgia, and I think there was a lot of chemical use.
But where did this guy come from? I understand he must own the group or something.
I don't know. I really don't know, but he...
Why don't you look into his background and see where, how he became the member?
Well, I think it was probably Roger Brown, but I'll look. I'll find out.
Thank you very much, Raleigh.
Okay, thanks for calling. I appreciate
it. Enjoy your show.
Great to have you. All right, so yes, we'll find out about part of the Deadbeat Club, no doubt. But University of Georgia in Athens was the start of that. All right, so let's see. We have Sam and Gurney. Welcome back to WGN Radio. What do you think, Sam?
Hey, Raleigh, how are you doing tonight? How's John?
All right, how about yourself?
Good, I'm so glad to hear it. Happy holiday. But I was calling because I have the most wonderful, beautiful little granddaughter by the name of Emily, and I wanted to see if you could play Monster Mash for her.
Oh, all right, sure, absolutely. I will
Would
do,
you
that.
Do that.
Yes, yeah, so I think it's probably appropriate that we do that. Okay.
Pardon me?
I say I think it's probably appropriate that we do that.
Yeah, she's a six-year-old sweetheart. She wants to be an artist when she grows up, and she's just wonderful at from every angle.
All right.
Thank you, Raleigh. Again,
thanks for calling. I appreciate it. I just looked up the B-52s, and I forgot about Love Shack. So there are more than one. So if you want to call back and nominate Love Shack, we can put that on that as well. But Rock Lobster was the big first single in 1978. Unfortunately, I was in Jacksonville, far too close to the University of Georgia, so we played it. The flip side was 52 girls. Oh, God. And, it was a hit. But now I got to find out exactly how they formed at the University of Georgia, but I will. And I'll also talk to Chris in Greenwood, South Carolina, and Laura in Willowbrook, and hopefully you too on WGN Radio.
I was working in the lab late one night when my eyes beheld an eerie sight, for my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise,
he did the mash.
He did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
He did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
He did the mash.
He did the monster mash. From my laboratory in the castle east to the master bedroom where the vampires feast. The ghouls all came from their humble abodes to get a jolt from my electrode.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
They did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash. The zombies were having fun. The party had just begun. The guest included Wolfman, Dracula, and his son. The scene was rocking, all were digging the sounds. Igor on chains, backed by his baying hounds. The coffin bangers were about to arrive with their vocal group, the Crypt Kicker Five.
They played the mash.
They played the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
They played the mash.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Well, so there it is, by request, Bobby Boris Pickett. Interesting story. Bobby Pickett was actually a kid from Somerville, Massachusetts, who did write it and kind of came up with the whole idea, but it would have done nothing if it weren't for running into Gary S. Paxton, who was nothing if not crazy. He agreed to produce and engineer it. And so Gary Paxton, of course, Garpax Records, that's why the Monster Mash is on Garpax. But earlier than that, he was in Skip and Flip, obviously, and he was the Hollywood Argyles, all of them pretty much. Anyway, he got some pretty good session guys together for that, Leon Russell, The Ventures drummer, Mel Taylor, and all that, and took him into the studio, and it became a million seller. Got to number one in 1962, Halloween 1962, Bobby Boris Pickett and the Crypt Kickers. And it re-entered the charts a few times in 1970, and again in 1973. Actually, in 73, I think it got up to number 10, and got up even higher in the UK in 1973. And it's a perennial kind of Halloween thing. Unfortunately, that's a medley of his hits, He did a number of other things that you've never heard in your life, which is just as well. And so that is the deal on him. I don't know what happened to Bobby Borges. I know he's no longer with us. He died in 2007 of leukemia. But I don't know in the interim years between 1962 and 2007. For a little while, he was on KRLA, and a weekend show he had on KRLA at the time that Monster Mash was a big hit. But other than that, I know he made some appearances on TV shows. Okay, I think it was on one of the Petticoat Junction episodes, thing like that, and probably more Lobster Man from Mars movie or something like that. But for the most part, how we kept bread on the table, I don't know. I have no idea. So I'm sure he did something, though, and he left us with the Monster Mash, whether we wanted him or not. I think when he died, Dr. Demento did a documentary retrospective of his work. So the good doctor would know more than I, for sure. All right, so Chris in Greenwood, welcome back to WGN Radio. Chris, have you left us, Chris? Chris was going to talk about War of the Worlds. All right, well, he can hopefully call back next week because we'll still talk about it. No problem there. All right, Donna in Oak Lawn. Hello, Donna.
Hey, on the radio show right before you on WGN News, Johnny Landreth was pointing out that the Monster Mash was on top of mashed potatoes.
That's why it was the Monster Mash. Of course it was. It was half of the mashed potatoes and the other half of the twist. And so because they kind of combined the two with the sound, they used mash for mashed potatoes. That's why it's in the title.
Because, well, he did, his sidekick didn't understand what he was talking about, and he played the Monster Mash so that you had it in your mind and in your ear. And then he played the mashed potatoes, and underneath that, while mashed potatoes is going on, he kind of said the words to the Monster Mash, and it was spooky.
Well, again, that was not a ripoff. That was an intent. They did that intentionally.
Well, originally they said that he'd done Boris Karloff on one of the radio shows, and it he did it so well that he said, wanted to see what else he could do with it. And they kind of started adding sounds and came up with the Monster Mash.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
He was a semi-comedian, and he wrote that with Leonard Capizzi. And they spoofed all sorts of dances. And so Boris Bela Lugosi, Boris Karloff, and all that stuff. And the labels didn't want to touch it. That's why Gary Paxton put it on Garpax. Because obviously there's all sorts of copyright issues when you're, obviously the Monster Mash is a mashed potato. So that was well known. But the majors all said, no, we pass. And Gary Paxton did it, and it hit.
Well, the funny part about it is there have been all these wonderful novelty tunes throughout the ages, and a lot of the regular big record companies have turned them down, but because there's novelties, there's so much fun. They catch the American public.
Sure. But,
you gotta have somebody in record companies with a sense of humor.
Well, it's not so much that. Remember, anytime you're the big player, the fat and happy guy, you're not going to take a chance. People who already are successful, and it doesn't matter if it's records or radio or anything. I mean, think about this one. Edwin Land went to Kodak about, I got this idea for this Instamatic camera. They said, get out of town. And, of course, that's how Polaroid was born. Xerox pretty much gave away their patents for computers, on and on. The successful guy doesn't take a chance. The guy who comes out of nowhere, he has nothing left to lose, so why not?
3M with the sticky notepads, yeah.
Well, I mean, 3M's a whole different thing. It's a mining company. But, of course, in general, when there's nothing left to lose, you take the chance that the established guy doesn't have to.
You're absolutely right.
So that was the deal there. But, yeah, so, I guarantee you there's just as many flops we've never heard of, obviously, in these situations. But, when there's nothing to lose, who cares?
Well, I'm glad that the Monster Mash succeeded.
Well, it sure did.
Every time I hear it.
You know, like I say, I heard bits and pieces along the way of Pickett, but I never really knew how he kept bread on the table, because every now and then he'd be in a little bit play in a movie or a TV show or, you know, something like that, the weekends on KRLA for a year. But then how did this guy stay alive? And I guess I never cared enough to find out.
Maybe he sold insurance.
That could be. All right. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Have a good one.
You too. Yeah, that could be. Maybe he did his day job. I don't know. I don't know what kind of day job would Bobby Boris Pickett have. Because I never saw his name on marquees for, you know, comedy clubs or anything like that. So I don't know. All right. Maybe it was more movies than I realized, but I don't think so. So 888-876-5593 is 8888-Raleigh. And Chris called back in Greenwood. All right, Chris, so what's up? Are you there, Chris?
I'm here.
All right.
Hello?
Yes, hello, hello, hello.
Hey.
There you are. So, what's
up? You hear me loud and clear?
Loud and clear. So, what are we talking about?
Okay. Yeah, you know, October 30th was a lot of things. That turkey thing from WKRP and War of the Worlds.
Oh,
way
sure.
Before the WKRP turkey drop.
Right. And no one was expecting the original War of the Worlds to just completely unsettle most of the listeners. Yeah, they bought it, and I don't think anyone was expecting it.
Nope, because what happened was, like, majority of them tuned to NBC, like, was that Mr. Bergen and his puppet?
Yeah.
And they listened to him before.
Right.
They turned it to War of the Worlds. They missed the opening of it.
Right, right. Yeah, that it was not real. Yeah, that was part of it, sure. Yeah, it was certainly had a bigger effect than anybody expected.
Yeah, I wonder if any radio stations in Chicago aired War of the Worlds when it first happened.
Oh, well, that's an interesting... I would assume.
Because the WBBM was CBS, right? Did they air it?
No, I'm not. I don't know. I'd have to. I absolutely don't know. It was 1938, so let me see if I can get a bunch of stuff to know. So CBS Radio Network.
Yes, I know that station in Detroit aired it tonight, and I listened to it on 760.
Yeah, right. WJR.
They had their version of it and not the original.
Right, and a lot of, you know, WKBW in Buffalo has done that over the years, too. A lot of them have, but I think that the deal is War of the Worlds wasn't a standalone program. It was part of Mercury Theater, and so that was the deal. So any of the stations that carried Mercury Theater would have carried this, and I don't know if I can find a list. That's what I was looking for, Mercury Theater affiliates. So I don't know, but I would assume... You know, there I go, assuming again. But I would assume that someone in Chicago carried that.
Yeah, because I wonder, because I know in my town, Greenwood, we didn't have radio stations until 1941.
Right.
When WCRS signed on, and it was NBC, right. And it wasn't CBS.
No, but, yeah.
Cause I know New York had it, because I think 880 had it, or whatever.
It wouldn't surprise me. So I'm looking for an affiliate. I don't know if I'll find an affiliate list right now while I'm on the air, but I'll look later. But I assume absolutely, because Mercury Theater was a sustaining program on CBS. That was a big deal. And so it was a weekly thing. It was Monday nights.
Well, that came on a Sunday night.
Yeah, no, but I mean, normally it was Monday night. So was October 30th was a Sunday night? Because I thought that was a Monday night show. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Let's see.
One of them. I know. I think it was a Sunday night.
Okay. So.
Yeah. And you saw like the ending of it.
Oh, I see. Wait a minute. That show was Mondays. I was right. It was Monday night. But they moved the show in 1938 to Sundays at 8 p.m. So it'd be a Sunday night show. There you go. And it was sponsored by Campbell's Soup. And later, I think. But anyway, that's, you know, who. Who would that be? I don't know. I would assume that, yes, Chicago carried it, and New York, and, you know, all the majors, so.
Yeah, because I know Orson had to break out of character because of the graphic nature
it had, absolutely.
In real time.
Right. Yeah, I would assume.
And he had to say, this is Halloween.
Yes, of course. Of course, no, they were not expecting what happened. That's for sure. But yeah, you bring up a good question in terms of who the affiliates were. But I'm almost positive you had, your basics.
But at the very end of the show, because they didn't say this is CBS, they said the full initial Columbia Broadcasting System.
Yeah, right. That wasn't unusual back then.
Because they usually do it by name.
Yeah. All right. Here I've got a list of the radio stations alphabetically. So yeah, I assume absolutely New York, Chicago, L.A., all of that stuff. I've got a list of this, and unfortunately, with my vision, I cannot read it.
WGN ever had to air it before?
No, as far as I know, WGN never aired it. Never heard of such anyway. So no. So,
and they did an anniversary of it in 1998.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like I say, many, there were TV, shows of it too and all that. So,
documentaries.
Yeah, right. So, I think there was actually some type of an adaptation that was video as well as audio, but I don't know. Not anything that I know, but I can certainly look up who aired it, but I'm not going to waste the time right now because I got about 9 minutes left of airtime. So I will.
Yeah, okay, but I know I'm going to air it on my radio station at 2 a.m.
All right. Well, have a good time with that.
Yeah, and according to that, I'm going to air the radio that won't turn off after that.
That's always fun. That'll be good. That'll scare the heck out of people. Go for it. All right.
I will award the world at 2 and radio that won't turn off at 3.
All right. You don't stream it, do you?
No, it's on 95.7 FM.
Right, yeah, exactly. Well, if they're near you in Greenwood, they'll get to hear it.
Oh, yeah. They can see what's going on outside. Yeah. If they sleep, they won't have to panic.
KNX in L.A. So John just handed. We've got the complete original radio broadcast. So I don't know that it has a list. But KNX in Los Angeles carried it. So I can find the whole list.
Oh, they're still on the air.
What? Are they still on the
KNX
air?
KNX still on the air?
Hell yes. Absolutely. All news, of course. So anyway, I will find the list, and we'll go over that next week.
Okay.
All right,
Happy
thanks.
Halloween.
You too. Thanks for calling. Enjoy yourself. All right, so 888-876-5593. So yes, absolutely, KNX, which back then was on 1050. Of course, that was before 1941 with the great frequency realignment. All right, so what do we have with David in South Chicago? Welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. This is David.
Yes,
I'm in the south suburbs of Chicago.
Very good.
How are you?
All right, and yourself?
Good. I'm kind of curious. I don't hear too much rockabilly on your show, and I love Robert Gordon.
Yeah.
Kind of a, two decades away from Elvis, but he's got some good pipes and some good guitar, and be really love to hear Rockabilly Boogie, I think, is one of his songs,
okay.
The Way I Walk.
Okay. I will play it for
you. I don't know if you... Yeah, that'd be great. Fantastic.
Okay.
Yeah, that'd be super. Yeah, because I love kind of the rockabilly. Brian Seltzer did a good Brand New Cadillac. If you want to get something a little more current, that'd be great, too.
No, I'd rather not getting anything a little more current. But there's a whole lot of rockabilly that I actually do enjoy going back. I will play just for you, David, in South Chicago, some rockabilly next week.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Raleigh.
Sure.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for calling. Good to talk to you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. So,
bye-bye.
Yes, we can. We aim to please. All right. So, 888-876-5593. Laura in Willowbrook, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hey, thanks, Raleigh. Hope you can help me out. You're usually pretty good at figuring things out.
Uh-oh.
I went to return a package today to the FedEx company.
Okay.
And... after I finished, I saw many things that I was interested in purchasing, but I wasn't really wanting to do it at that moment. So I'm taking pictures, and a lady comes over me. She says, you can't take pictures in our store. I says, I just was dumbfounded. Have you heard of that? I take pictures at grocery stores and stuff all the time.
Technically, you can't. You mean like pictures of what's in the store? Now, obviously, if you're in the FedEx counter, yeah, and you're taking a picture of what you're sending back, and it's just that, that's not a problem. But if you're talking about taking pictures of a private business or whatever, no, that's proprietary. They can stop you.
Really?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, that shocked the heck out of me, because I says, well, I want to buy this stuff, but I want to have it on my record to what you have. Like, I just, and then the reasoning didn't make any sense to me. They said because of security. What the heck does that have to do with security?
Well, okay, I'm not there. But what they may be saying is we have a blanket rule of no pictures in the store because we don't want anybody who might want to come in here and rob it or whatever get the lay of the land, you see. And so they may not, they're not worried that you personally are doing this, but they may have a blanket rule that they don't want anybody doing it.
I was just shocked as heck. I wasn't mean about it, but I told them, I says, well, I hope the security cameras are listening to our conversation so we can learn more about this. And she says, oh, well, we can't take sound recordings.
No, they can't. Absolutely, that is illegal. And this is something for, like, CCTV, like people who have security cameras, they're allowed to get video but not audio. And the video can be in any public place. So, for instance, let's say you're in a condominium. The condominium management can have pictures in the elevators, in the lobbies, at the swimming pool, all the public places. They can't have a picture that looks directly into your unit. So, in other words, the expectation of privacy does not exist in public places. So, these are all well-known things. And in most states, no audio, but all the video you want. So, the bottom line is whenever you're in a private store, like a grocery store, they have the right to say you will not take pictures here. They also might say, yes, you can, but it's not unusual. And, you weren't thinking in terms of security, but they are.
Right. Yeah.
So,
I understand the thinking.
Yeah, and you have no legal right to take photographs of anything, including the price tags. That's interesting, of course, because many of the grocery stores now have a deal where you're going to be using your app there and all that. So that makes it kind of iffy on how you're doing it. But technically, if it's private property, they have every right to stop you from taking pictures.
Wow. Well, you're usually pretty good at filling me in on stuff. I really had no idea because, like I said, I take pictures at grocery stores to what I want to buy and have delivered. And it's like, I didn't have any idea.
Yeah, but you also would take it if you were there and you were casing the joint to rob it.
Well, that's true. So, yeah, I can understand. Well, thank you, Raleigh. Sure,
thanks.
You're always very informative.
Thanks for calling. I appreciate it. All right.
Good night.
So, yes, indeed. And there's, the laws for this get rather sticky. Like I say, no audio. Most states would claim that in terms of what you can and what you can't and what's public and what's private. So absolutely, you can't do that. Now, there also would be a fight of are you able to take a picture of the product? And, I'd say, again, don't do it. But anyway, 888-876-5593. 8888 Raleigh. John in Chicago, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hey, how's it going, Raleigh? I just wanted to say an interesting observation I heard one time, and I can't remember where I heard it, but the song The Monster Mash is about them observing these monsters doing the mash, but we don't know what song that they mashed to.
Wait a minute. I thought it was Top of the Hour. Oh, and John is saying not Top of the Hour. So don't go away. I'll just say, I guess the show is over on WGN. Stay where you are. Thank Adam and thank John and thank you for calling. It's WGN Radio. Now, they can break if they want to. So you and I can talk otherwise. And it's up to GN what they do about it. All right. The mash was the monster. The mash was the mashed potatoes. That's what it was.
They're observing them do the mashed potato.
Yeah, absolutely. Back then in 62, there were dance crazes. The twist was still really hot. And they had the mashed potatoes and they had the hully gully and they had half a dozen other dances as well. So, yes, they were doing the mashed potato.
Okay.
And you can listen to D.D. Sharp, Mashed Potato, and the follow-up, Gravy. Gimme gravy on my mashed potatoes. Gimme gravy tonight. anyway, so, Yeah,
sounds
that's
good.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I know, it always got me hungry. But anyway, that's what it was, mashed potato.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
Have a happy Halloween.
You too. All right, so apologies to James on the south side, and obviously at this point you're just listening on the stream if you are my stream, and it'll be on the replay too, but we said goodnight to WGN, so that's the deal. Tomorrow night I'm not on the air because the Blackhawks are hawking at night there in the West Coast. And then Monday night it will be, and I think it's a full show too, but let me look a minute to let you know if this is full or not. I think it is. Let me know. This is 2025. You know, we don't care about October 2025. Making medical appointments earlier in the day. So let me get back to 2024 and see what is happening. Here. All right. So, yes, indeed. It's a full show Monday night. 3 hours of Monday night trivia, and I'm looking forward to it. Then no show on Election Day for all the reasons that you should know. And then it's a half-hour delay on Wednesday and Thursday. So that's for next week. So until then, happy Halloween. Stay safe. Have fun. Talk to you Monday. Till then, that's a wrap.